Action, and welcome everybody. Welcome to BNP Weekly, episode 122. It is 12th of April, 2021. And before we go to the visitor of this week, let's do a quick recap what this show is all about. So in the BNP Weekly, we'll talk about the latest in Microsoft 365 in general and focus on the Microsoft news and community news and all of that stuff. But typically, we also have visitors in these shows. My name is Esa Juvonen. I'm a program manager in the Microsoft 365 platform level. And with me as a co-host is Waldek.
Hello, everybody. My name is Waldek Mastigas. I am cloud developer advocate for Microsoft 365. And today, as Vesa said, we have a guest.
Yes, but before we go there, you're a cloud advocate, so that means that you're kind of promoting my work. Isn't that the case? So why am I here?
Yes. Yes.
Why am I again?
Because credits go where credit's due.
Fair point.
So we like to put people in the spotlight, Vesa.
Sure.
So that you can share your work. Yes. Anyway, I was trying to get at it. Today, we have a guest.
Well, the intro was going way too well, so sorry for that. So we needed to manage.
We need to kind of break. Yes, curveball once in a while. Absolutely. From Branson, Missouri, a longtime MVP, Mr. Mark Reckley. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Technically, though, I'm from Harrison, Arkansas, which is about 30 minutes south of Branson, Missouri. Branson is where I do my conference. So that's
why today I learned. Yes. I tried to fix my geography. Yes, right.
So I'm even more of a hillbilly than Branson. I'm in Arkansas.
Yeah, like why have I linked you to Branson? Like that was like on top of my mind. Yeah, like you run the conference there, so it's gotta be local. Well, it is, but it's another state half an hour away from you. So
exactly.
From Arkansas. Yes.
Arkansas. It's not Arkansas, it's Arkansas.
That's another thing I learned a few years back already. Yes. It's not Kansas. It's not Kansas, it's Arkansas.
Exactly.
That's a good thing to remember, actually. Yes. So now, Mark, can you talk about who are you? What are you actually doing? So we mentioned a conference. What was that all about? But what are you doing?
In Arkansas, right? So that's already a fact we established.
Yeah. I am the top SharePoint MVP, Microsoft MVP in Arkansas around the Office 365 stack. I'm the only one.
But, yeah. In Arkansas?
Yeah. I think there's might be 5 MVPs total in the state, but I'm the only one that does the Office 365 space. So Microsoft 365.
Also makes you top one, right?
Which makes me the top one. Also the worst one. But
let's concentrate on positives.
Exactly, So yeah, so as you mentioned, I do organize a conference up in Branson, Missouri. It is called the North American Collaboration Summit. It's actually the sister conference to Addis's European Collaboration Summit. So we decided to go ahead and team up a few years ago. So I do my event over here. He does his event over there. And we're doing it. We actually did a hybrid event last year. So in September last year, we actually did a small in-person event with an online event as well using Microsoft Teams. And we're doing it again this year. So in August this year, we're doing our conference again in Branson, Missouri, hybrid, so people can come if they want to, or they can do it from home. And we stream all of our sessions live so that you get a good experience no matter if you're there in person or if you want to do it online. So if your attendees want to check out more, it's at collabsummit.org. So it's a fun time. I enjoy it. But besides that, my background is SharePoint development. I started back in SharePoint in 2007. Got a big start with the client-side dev. I'm one of the people responsible with Mark Anderson for all of the script that's been injected in Pages, so you can blame us for that. And within the past 6 years or so, I work for a company called PateGroup, where we do Microsoft 365 consulting, and I'm one of the partners of that company. So these days, I do a lot more meeting with clients, a lot of technical pre-sales, a lot of management, a lot of running a company. So I don't get my hands quite as dirty as I used to, but just enough to cause problems and then make other people clean them up. So. Stuff I'm good at.
In the past, you've built a few things, right? So I think I think the one that folks might know the most are the web parts or the ability to put web parts in tabs, right?
Yeah. So I still get, I guess it started like years and years ago, I created this thing, this web part, this script that lets you put your web parts in tabs. And it's called Hillbilly Tabs. And I guess when I first started off with SharePoint, I had the blog SharePointHillbilly.com, and I created solutions with the word hillbilly in front of it. And I would go and talk to people and meet people, and they're like, "Oh, I don't know you." And I'm like, "I'm Mark Rackley. Like, I don't know you." I'm like, "I did the hillbilly stuff." "Oh, you're the hillbilly." So I didn't really think about that. Think that too, you know, all the way through when I made the name. But yeah, so the web part, for sticking web parts in tabs, people still are using that, still send me questions all the time, trying to make it work, and people begging me to make it work in modern pages, and I keep pushing back, saying no, that's a step too far. I'm not going to do that for modern pages. So because I listen to you guys, you know, no DOM manipulation.
Yep.
I'm trying good. To stop. I'm trying to that's stop. Good.
Yes, even though technically that can be done, it's not a wise thing to do. It will bite you in the end always. Well, so.
And that's the thing. Like, to prove it could be done, I actually created the web parts, the tab web parts, as a modern SharePoint framework web part to show that it could be done, but with the disclaimer that it can't be done and that you shouldn't do it. And people have access to it. They've been using it, and it doesn't work anymore because something changed that broke it. And they're like, "Oh, we've been using it. You need to fix it." And I'm like, "No, I told you. It was an example of how you could do
it's
it.
Open source. We accept PRs."
No. Maybe we'll spend 2 minutes on this one. Why did it actually get broken? Is that every now and then, as a Microsoft, we are evolving this cloud service, which we own, and which we provide a guidance how it can be customized, we need to do, let's say, performance optimization. And every now and then, the performance optimization might actually impact, let's say, the DOM structure of the page, because we cannot guarantee that the DOM structure is intact for upcoming decades. No, not going to happen because there's new technologies, optimized ways of doing things. And then we need to introduce new things. And then that is causing a DOM structure changes. And then all of these things we basically get broken. And then, of course, everybody yells to us, even though we told everybody that not to do that. So,
but the counter argument too is you hear a lot, okay, if the DOM of the page is not an API, give us an API.
Well, DOM for the needed UX widget location. Absolutely. Yes. And that's a fair statement. And the question is more, if you think about SharePoint, I know, Mark, you've been really good at this one as well. When we started back in 2007, 2010, 2013, well, then to the cloud and classic, it was all about whatever you want to do. And a typical request was basically make SharePoint look not like SharePoint, which is like, that was crazy, to be honest, but especially nowadays, nobody's demanding Microsoft Teams not to look like Teams, because of course you want it to look like Teams, but then you can extend that in a reliable way. But in SharePoint, we're still in this kind of a mode where, no, I want to make it crazy. I have a lot of money. And then unfortunately, there are people who are like, okay, I'll make it happen for you. So we needed to, let's say, how would I put it, make it more fine-tuned and make it more polished and make it more strict on what is the extensibility points. And of course, there's always an ask for more extensibility points because it's never enough comparing the full freedom which we had in the background in the past, right? Even Mark, you were against all of this modern things and limitations at some points, I think.
I don't know if against is the right word. I didn't, you know. Yeah, I was against it. I like having control, and I want to do what I want to do. They've done a great job of making it look nice and modern, giving us the web parts that we need, giving us the ability to develop our web parts. But the big thing is, though, if you go back to classic SharePoint, you go back to the really ugly stuff that we had to clean up, we had no mobile experience. Mobile experience was garbage. And so people were creating all these mobile-friendly master pages, but it still wasn't a great experience. Well, now we have a mobile experience. And you know, if you allow DOM manipulation, you're totally going to hose that mobile experience probably, right? So it's just like, you gave us the rails to get done what we want to get done. Now it's, you know, my job as a consultant to make sure companies stay in those rails and don't go too far off of them.
More and more first-party users are basically there's more and more users are using just one device, a small device, a mobile device for their day-to-day work. Yeah. So being able to access the information in a mobile is super important. And rather than being forced to implement a secondary web mobile experience, it's the same site which adapts automatically. So
yeah.
Now, Mark, related on all of this transition, and funny enough, everybody is always, and I'm an old SharePoint developer because everybody comes from this SharePoint pipeline and then poof gets thrown
away. Depending on how much back you go, right? Like, there isn't much else that was there. I mean, we had other products, but like from that particular space, SharePoint is probably the longest on the block.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I was a Java developer before I was a SharePoint developer.
I did PHP.
I won't hold that against you.
Wow. I did assembler. So, no, just kidding.
Wow.
When I was studying. Anyway. But now, Mark, coming back on the on this journey of moving from the on-premises and SharePoint, your thoughts on the, let's say, partner impact on the partner side. We still actually, surprisingly much, we hear requests for the on-premises deployments and SharePoint on-premises versions. How has this transition from on-premises to the cloud and this more limited extensibility options impacted your company? And is the business basically gone, or did you need it to re-transform, and was it a big change?
You know, it wasn't overnight. Just like going from classic to modern wasn't overnight. A lot of people stayed in classic with SharePoint Online. So it's been very much a gradual shift, but now 90% of our clients are completely in the cloud, and we got a small segment that's still on-prem. Some of them are like, most of them are like banks and that sort of thing that really just do not want to go to the cloud. But it's, for the most part, it was a painful conversation at first because it was a pretty hard limit of what you could and couldn't do. And the ability to connect to SharePoint Online, writing code to do that, to do authentication, it was a nightmare. It really was. It was just a pain in the butt. But now with all the PNP stuff you guys are doing and how easy it is to connect to SharePoint Online, you know, with an on-prem .NET web client or whatever, It's really not a hurdle anymore. It's all about education. It's about them understanding how much time and effort they want to put into what they have. So the way we approach our client who has all this customization is we see we're not just going to move that to the cloud and say, okay, we're going to give us a check and we're going to transfer everything as is. It's no, let's redesign everything. What do you have today that's custom that can be done out of the box today? You know, what can we go ahead and move there successfully? Then what's left? And how do we want to tackle that? Do we want to do something in Azure? Do we want to do something, keep it on-prem and find some way to connect it online? But that really is where we can add that value. So it's actually made us more valuable to a client because maybe we end up saving them lots of money in the long run and licensing and fees for rebuilding things. It's been great for us. We're growing. I was telling Waldeck before we started recording, we've actually hired 3 people this year. We've had one of our biggest pipelines in a long time. So it's a great time. You have to be agile and look for what's next and be able to move your company that way. And that's where like being involved with you guys, knowing you guys, being an MVP, it really helps me position the ship and make sure that we're going the right direction and helping our clients get there as well. So yeah, it's...
I can always send an email and ask input. No, just kidding. Don't do that.
I keep my investing emails to a minimum, but I do send them occasionally.
Another thing I'm interested in regarding to the growth is skills. Like how, like over the years, how do you see the skills needed for the work you do changed from back in the days 2007 to today?
Well, and the skills have definitely changed dramatically. Before, you really needed those hardcore server admins. You need the hardcore .NET developers to really keep everything up and going. And now we have, you know, our newer hires are people who are, you know, we call them, you know, modern workplace consultants because they help you modernize what you're doing, taking advantage of the tools that are there. So it may not involve any actual development at all. A lot of training, education, how you do things, answering questions for you. And the developers, the last few developers we hired are all client-side based, SharePoint framework. They can do PowerShell. We're big in the Power Platform because a lot of these people are like, they need Power Automate flows, they need Power Apps. So we're hiring people with those core skill sets. But thanks to those skill sets, that's, you know, anybody who can understand logic and can do a formula in Excel, you really can get them into those Power Automate and Power Apps and they can do some things and some pretty impressive things. My son, who's a sophomore in college, he's been working for us for 2 years now, and he's just like, he's plowed through the SharePoint framework. He's plowed through the Power Platform, and he can do it. And I guess because he doesn't have all that baggage of being a .NET developer and having to deploy WSPs and break things, he's been able to work.
Resets, deployments.
So last week there was the one email thread, Twitter tweet through discussion with Colin's family, and their 14-year-old daughter had created an SPFX report, which looked really
connected to Graph,
and basically surfacing teams and groups and slide all of that stuff. Really, really impressive. But that's a good example. So, when you're recruiting new people, is it harder or easier nowadays? Because we are in the web stack development, so it shouldn't require that many SharePoint isms anymore, or does it?
You know, we are a smaller company. I think we're about 18 people now. And so when we're looking for resources, the way we hire is we know so many people from the community. We know people that know people that need work and stuff. And we very much tend to hire based upon who's available and not based upon a need. Because we found that as we hire the right people, we just find the business for them. And that's the strategy that's really worked for us, because we've tried hired basing on needs. Oh, we think we're going to need a developer in 3 months because our pipeline, let's hire a developer. That typically doesn't work out as well as, oh, wow, this developer is available, or this person has been using SharePoint for 10 years and is interested in consulting, and they're great fit, great personality, great experience. We don't maybe not have the project for them now, but we've learned that hiring the right people, we're going to get the work for them, because the work is out there. It's just being able to staff it properly. So we very much hire based upon the skills and the fit, not the need that we have currently. And then that's how we've been able to be successful.
Makes sense. Obviously, it's highly dependent on the company size and the way of business is being executed and all of that. But that absolutely makes sense, because if you hire the smart people, they can typically find their own job or customers to invoice. So because that's how it works.
Yeah. And actually, we are looking at trying to do more product development. I think we've got a couple of things we've done for clients that said, oh, this will make a nice product. But given my experience in the past with product development, it's not something I want to go into lightly. So that's like a long-term strategy for us. So making sure we have the right resources in place for that. Someone who actually has a background in product development. But that's where we're going to do more targeted developers who have experience doing specific things. And then maybe some people we can mentor up as well. So But right now I found that, with the right background, with a small amount of background and the right passion, these tools are such that most people can really excel with them.
Cool.
Documentation is in place. The guidance and videos and all of that stuff. And like you said,
no, sorry, we don't need documentation.
Yes,
that's like saying
taking notes. Developers yes. say they don't need documentation.
Exactly. We can save a lot of money. Actually, that's a great idea.
Yeah. So related to that, how do you experience over the years the change in the pace of change, right? Oh, I mean, in the past, we would have a release every 3 years and you would buy a book, you would read the book, and you would know everything there was to know about things. Nowadays, that's no longer the case. I mean, there are still books, but dynamic is different, right?
Absolutely. And that's why, that's where having the relationships with you guys, having having this podcast, having the whole PMP team, having the community out there, that's absolutely critical, because it is so quick. Something that was one way today is going to be totally different tomorrow. And I think it just takes the ability to know I have access to those resources, to have, the decade plus experience I have in the environment to know what's possible. I don't know how to do everything, but thanks to people like you, I know what's possible. So I start down the what's possible path and we get there. And we also set our clients up that if this is the path you want to go down, here's the challenges you're going to face because things are changing the way they are. And so we try to keep them on that path that's going to cause them the least issues with the constant change while still setting them up to be able to take advantage of the things that are coming. So it's a balancing act, and I think it takes some skill, but it's also fun. It's exciting. I don't get bored, right? Because I'm always learning new things, and
yeah,
right. It's fun.
every single day something new is somewhere. And that happens, of course, for Microsoft employees as well, because we're always representing a one organization structure. And then you're looking in another, looking in one direction and look back and you're like, oh, now it's changed. Wow, yeah. I need to have a look on that. So
it's also created an environment where I think people are more forgiving when you don't know everything. Like if I go to, if I'm showing someone how to use something, I'm like, oh, this link's new or this page is different. It's like people aren't like,
what
well,
does
you didn't
it
know
do?
That.
And then like you go down the hall, right?
Right. They're not like, oh, I know that. I can't believe you didn't know that. They're like, oh, cool. What is it? You know, so they're more interested. So it's in some ways it's created a better environment for people to get in there and figure things out.
Makes perfect sense. Now coming back on, sorry without for drilling on the business and all of that, but that's always kind of an interesting for the people who are listening as well. So what kind of things is the typical project? Of course, Microsoft Teams is getting pushed heavily. There's probably some SharePoint pieces. What kind of things is Byte Group actually doing?
So our bread and butter are what we call deployment planning, where it's kind of our low cost engagement to meet with a company, you know, and we deal with companies that have, you know, 100 employees, and we deal with companies that have tens of thousands of employees. But it's like, what do you have today and where are you wanting to go? So maybe you have that on-prem deployment that you want to get in the cloud. Maybe you're already paying for Office 365 and Microsoft 365, but you're not taking advantage of it. Maybe you are having a bad experience because you brought another consultant in to do something. They created a mess and left, and now you need someone to come in there and clean it up or help you get your hands wrapped around it. We do a lot of that. But it's typically we just sit down with the client, find out what are your needs, where are you wanting to go? Did you know about these features? It's a lot of education. You can do this and this. Did you think about using bots for this scenario? Maybe you should look at the Power Platform. Or no, you should not be doing that. You should be doing this instead. And it's really we're very much in an advisory role to help them figure out how to get to the next step. And then we've got the resources to help them actually get there, whether it is, you know, technical resources, whether it's training resources, whether it's development needs or whatever. So it's very much we're very much a relationship driven company. We don't go in, do a project and leave. We build relationships. We get to know the company, get to know their people, their environment, their needs. And then we typically, you know, we have clients that we've been with since the day I started the company that, you know, we know their environments. When they have a need, they reach out, and that's the way we like to do business. So
That's almost like the consulting business, which I used to do back in time when I was still doing consulting. So that's because it was all about the human relationships. And I was a Microsoft Consulting Services consultant, so Microsoft consultant, which is slightly different. But the best case, when you do that for a few years, then you start to have your own set of customers. So none of the salespeople were selling you for a stupid gigs. Rather, you were able to fill in the good stuff and you were able to select the things. But that's all comes back on human relationships and being helpful and friendly and not just leave the customer like, hey, I don't care. I've done my job and that's it. Rather, whatever comes to mind, and always be helpful and friendly. So, we're recording this, but there's a simple rule in business, which is don't be a, how do we do this in a family-friendly way?
Douchebag.
Douchebag. That's a good way of saying that. So,
bad person. It's polite.
Another way to say it is, you know, don't skin a sheep, shear it. Right? Like, if we wanted to, and that means basically, you know, you could go in there and you could gut the company for all their money and deliver garbage and walk away and you made a ton of money.
Yeah.
But that's not what we wanted to do. We wanted to actually... We want them to want to work with us again. We want this project to be so good, we get the next project. We want them to be able to trust us, you know, because when Microsoft breaks something, not that you ever break anything, but when they break something, we want them to see us as, you know, not the person that caused that, but the person that's going to help them through that. Yeah. And by having that relationship, when we say, this is what happened, here's why it happened, you know, they don't look at us and blame us for it. They understand. Yeah. And so I think that's just a lot of it too.
And that's actually a good point, because that then also makes the day-to-day work much more meaningful and friendlier, because the tone of basically doing business is a positive rather than just grab the money and let's make money out of it.
Right.
Your wild deck pretty much vaporizing clearly on your.
Yeah, there's a flare. There's just the sun coming directly between the two.
That's actually pretty cool.
There's like a flare coming in. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm seeing a big asteroid coming on the Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Microsoft's fault.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Can I do anything about it? No, I cannot. There you go.
Oh,
if I hold my head like that, yeah.
All good. It actually looks really cool.
Another thing, Mark, you mentioned a little are the types or maybe the engagements you do, right? So do you see them changed over the last years? Because I've heard from a few folks saying that in the past you had these big projects that would take maybe a year, maybe even beyond a year, and nowadays it's more like weeks and months.
I think we've always, since with the push to the cloud, so I'd say even more than the last year, we really set our clients up to not try to make 2-year plans because things change way too fast for you to plan 2 years in advance. So we do try to make them think in terms of months and not years. So let's get through these. Let's figure out those things we can get done. Let's look where we're at. And if we need to plan for something bigger, obviously we do. But we do try to get them in that month's time step. So that's not been new for us in the past year. That's the way we've worked since Office 365 was a thing and updates started rolling out like crazy. Of course, over the last year, the change for us has been the dramatic move to Teams. So many of our clients were like, no, we're not going to roll out Teams yet. We'll wait. We'll be cautious about it. And when they came back, nope, we rolled it out, or we have to roll it out, or we need your help right now, or we rolled it out and we didn't know what we were doing, so we need our help. Or so, yeah, that of course that's been the big thing is the rollout of Teams. And we're also looking at a lot of noise around Viva. I think with the rollout of Viva, all our clients are asking, what's this? How does it mean to us? And with Viva Connections, I think that's a
great... And it's not just noise. It's going to be awesome. No, sorry.
It's more than just noise. No, yes. But with the announcement of Viva and everything they're saying, they're hitting a chord with clients or with companies. They're like, oh, this sounds interesting. So where they thought maybe SharePoint doesn't sound interesting, Viva sounds interesting.
So one thing, but we were just chatting about
why?
That one internally with some of the marketing people. And I think one of the key points there is that it's no longer product-centric messaging. It's more scenario and business-centric messaging, which is a big thing because there is no point. We talked about this one with Wildeck with you. Why are we shipping our internal org structure and trying to sell our internal organization structure to our customers? It doesn't matter which organization owns what and where for external-facing products and external-facing services. It shouldn't because it has no impact for customer. And that kind of an internal, let's say, politics and challenges and communicational challenges here and there shouldn't have any visible impact for customer because they want to buy a service, a scenario. They want to buy a experience.
Well, I mean, you could argue even like, do they want to buy service or do they want to be able to work more effectively or collaborate, communicate and whatever, right? So.
Yeah.
Like you could even make a point that they want to do that as opposed to even buy a piece of tech.
Yeah.
I think that, well, something else that I just thought about is one of the other things that we do as an organization is, you know, if we go to a large 100,000 user company, we're not working with that company's IT staff. We're working with their HR group or working with their tax group. Right. So then when Viva becomes announced and it's very much focused towards like user experience, towards employees. Yeah. Not tech. Yeah. It's not the tech, like you were saying. That's that HR group reaches out to us. So it's not their IT group asking, what's this Viva? Right. It's that HR group saying, oh, what is this? I think we want it. So that's where a lot of the excitement is coming from, too, from the non-IT space.
Yeah. Business-driven thinking rather than product and service and IT-driven thinking, which makes perfect sense.
That is also so an interesting point because like, if in the past all you used to do was tech and you know the IT, how would the HR know to contact you about it as opposed to somebody else?
Right. And that's because that's the group that engages us because HR had a need because they needed to do some sort of solution for, you know, they had Office 365. They found out through somebody else in the organization or through a friend that PayGroup does what they need to build that application. So they reached out to us. They used their budget to help us create something for them. And so we've got that relationship. And so then when they hear about Viva, they reach back out to us and say, oh, we heard about this Viva. So help us understand what it is and how to use it.
Yeah. Now, cool. Can you, in 5 sentences, explain what is Max Sofiva? Just kidding.
Can anybody?
Yeah. That was already one.
That was one. So you have 4.
More money? More? No, I'm kidding. No, I think the way I explain Viva, though, if it's a halfway serious question, it's about the employee experience, and it's about improving that experience, making sure your employees are okay. It's nothing radical or brand new. It's not something you can't go do today with the tools that are there, but it kind of brings it all together for you to make it easier to do those things.
Yeah.
It's nothing groundbreaking, except that it's kind of cool to bring it all together.
Yeah. Combining all of the different best of the pre-ed capabilities from the products as a one unified experience. I think that's really great. Or that's how we're, of course, internally super proud on building that stuff. Our organization is closely involved on doing that. And there will be new extensibility options and all of that stuff available for partners to take advantage and all of that. But gradually, more stuff getting out.
We'll have some Viva workshops and sessions at the North American Collaboration Summit, August 9th through 11th in Branson, Missouri.
Yeah, there we go. That's good. We need to actually get that one on the video notes for sure on the blog post. Now, should we do some articles and then close off for the day? We can't over the hour anyway, so because I need to go to a meeting to plan the SharePoint Framework 1.12.1 release, so I can't go longer.
We're keeping an eye out for that.
It's gonna come out. It's gonna come out soon. It's gonna.
Will it be a Tuesday or a Thursday?
That is a good question. It's gonna be either or maybe potentially Wednesday, not Monday or Friday.
Or maybe both, depending on what happens.
Depending also where in the world you live.
That is true as well.
In other words, you know nothing.
Exactly. Can we erase the last 5 minutes from the now? Sorry, let's do some articles. So first of all, from the Microsoft Teams blog, there's Microsoft Teams Rooms on Android update, so April 2021 updates, new capabilities, new features for the in-room experiences. This is starting to looking insanely cool. So whenever we will get back to business and going back to school, we get back to school, back to work.
Back to business?
We are in business. Sorry. Whenever we go back to office, there will be cool stuff available. Well, some of us probably will remain working remotely at least a few days in a week. So that's quite typical, cool stuff for sure. And then there was a new blog post related on a new feature request experience for Microsoft Graph and Office platform. So basically, Microsoft Graph and Office user voice, extensibility user voice have been shut down, and they are introducing their new platform ideas section. Now, as an example for ODSP, so OneDrive SharePoint, their developer group still exists in the user voice. So there are differences on the timelines of this transition, but sooner or later, everything is going to be in this new platform and a new Microsoft hosted platform, which is going to be in the tech community. So there's a new experience coming up in here. Something what we're looking into, by the way, on doing as part of that is of course, taking the existing ideas and importing them to the new platform. So not losing the votes, because it's super important that we don't lose those things. Build quality Microsoft Teams apps in these best practices. So quick blog post related on best practices on building Microsoft Teams applications. So kind of a pinpointing things, guidance, pointers. I think there was Chris O'Brien was just today was talking about the Teams toolkit and the how cool it is actually helps to create and design experiences before even implementing things. So there's a lot of assets available for Microsoft Teams. Introduction to tokens. So this is a community blog from the Microsoft 365 BMP blog. So basically explaining the basics on what is a token. This is the classic joke what we've been always having for a lot of the samples in our docs platform are always starting, now that you have the token, this is what you're going to do next, which is like, yeah, but where do I get the token? So this is basically explaining what is the token. Some say, yes. What is the token? If you decode that one, what does it actually contain? All of that stuff. That's actually a really cool reference to walk through and understand how systems work. Now, how to get any site collection users with their roles using PMP PowerShell, super powerful PMP PowerShell, Chandani writing a good nice summary on that one, how to get the username and information out into, well, from a reporting perspective. So really cool stuff as well. How to show profile pictures in person columns in SharePoint list and library. So coming back on the column formatting and those options, and how do we do those, and how do we present that information to be available. So actually, there is a column option, person and show profile pictures, and voila, you actually get that available. I think the list formatting and the lists are getting so much better and better all the time that it's one of those things where it used to be really hard to have those kind of experiences built at some point, or you needed to write code. Now you can actually make this stuff happen. A weekly Microsoft 365 PMP community spotlight with Abby, Albert, and Scott. So kind of a nice summary on getting to know him. Really, it takes like 2 minutes to read this one. So a nice way of consuming and getting information from the community members. Microsoft Craft Fundamentals Learning Path, Module 3. I think there is a Module 2 as well somewhere in here. But Louis Fries has been executing the Microsoft Craft Fundamentals Learning Path and then basically having notes and summary on what's available. It's a good way of learning actually Microsoft Craft. Now, then this week, there is going to be the Build Apps with Microsoft Craft live stream event, which is airing in two different time zones. So 2 hours, either from 2 a.m. to 4 p.m. EST. I don't even know what is that.
Australian Eastern
time. Yes, it is, actually. And then 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. That should be BST, though. Not PDT.
Daytime. Yeah.
But there we go.
Daylight savings, okay. Time zones.
Time zones, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, but there's a watch party. There's two of them. So there's a PMP watch party where David and Hugo, David Borner, Hugo Bernier is hosting that together with Louis Fries. And then there's another for the Australian event, which is hosted by Cameron Trier and Brett McKenzie. So a good way of kind of having discussion related on what is being streamed and kind of a open chatting as we're watching together the stream. It might get pretty noisy. Last time it was around Microsoft Teams and the experience was pretty chatty, so to say. So
that is the whole point, right? That is the whole point, to basically have that immersive experience where you can chat with others about what you're seeing, ideas you get, question true. Marks.
Exactly.
True. I think it's a good idea. So and now that everybody's working from home, still having that collaboration together and making us feel being part of the community for sure. Now, Dianco Lohan had a Power App source code editing for Canvas apps. So basically a blog post related on that one in the PMP blog. So now the community can actually blog here as well. We're getting more and more contributions, which is really, really cool. Trying to have an easy way of following up on the latest what's happening. Yannick Rickman, changes for your own profile picture as a guest in Microsoft Teams. This has got a lot of attention. Really, really cool that it is explained how to do that. And that then means that you can modify your picture even though you are in a guest Azure AD, which is really cool. Using code, but surprise, surprise. Improving page properties web part from Mike Hommel from Treewheel. Good additional web part, which has been implemented available as an open source solution for additional page properties. So slightly kind of a advanced version comparing the one which is available out of the box. And then we had Microsoft Craft Fundamental Learning Path Module 2. See, I remembered we're using this in the wrong order. But anyway, from Louis, and then summary again on what's happening there. And in this one, she has also written some notes. So really cool stuff as well. What is this tool, what she's doing? And it's actually really cool.
OneNote.
No, but that the gradual progress. I understand.
So you can play. You can play afterwards the whole thing. Yeah.
Really? Yes. Wow, I wasn't aware of that. That's actually really cool.
Today I learn.
Every single day you learn something new. You work for Microsoft. Why don't you? Of course not. How would you know?
My printer is broken. Can you fix it? On my way.
Cool. Anuv Tati from Content and Cloud. It's Cloud and Content. Content and Cloud. Either way, so from Chris O'Brien's company, options for obtaining access token with Azure application to application authentication, pretty advanced scenarios actually, but super important to understand how things are working and super, super critical for the cloud implementations. So really cool stuff. April Dunnan had a good clarification of Power Apps data sources explained. So what's happening there? And I think there's a references to the videos, and there's the video on the different options. And that's basically a summary on the video of what is being covered. So really cool stuff as well. From Laura Rogers, SharePoint list form editor. So basically how to modify this form. And that's actually really cool. So you can actually design your personal experience on this layout. So, which is really, really cool. We're getting more and more advanced. Sure, you need to understand some of the JSON. If you've ever been in the community calls, I just love Chris Kent's demos because it's always, hey, I'm Chris. Let's do some stuff.
All right, everybody. I'm Chris. Let's talk about some list format and stuff, right?
And then you're like, how would you know that stuff? I have just because the JSON stuff goes way to an interesting level. But you can do really, really powerful stuff for free without any extensibility. So really, really cool stuff for sure.
Well, I mean, this is yeah, like you are extending it.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, not really writing code. It's a low code. Is that a code? No code.
Can
no
you
code.
Debug this? No, it is code. Yeah. It's even harder at times because there is no breakpoints.
Yes, that's true as well. That's true. Mark Anderson had a upgrading from PMP Modern Search Web Parts version 3 to version 4. So super important and a powerful setup as well. That these web parts are, by the way, one of the most widely used web parts globally in SharePoint Online. And so,
love them. Two thumbs up.
They are really good. Yeah, they are really, really good. And then Michael Mendes had a how to build SharePoint glossary page using view formatting and connected list web parts. A lot of list formatting. We can actually see that's there's a lot of interest on the list formatting samples as well. So basically building really cool experiences and connected web parts with it as well. So really, really cool stuff. So you can actually select the alphabetical characters in here and do the filtering in this one. Really cool. And then the last one from Daryl as a service. So change your background for the Teams meeting on mobile. So how do you do that? Walking through that process as well. Really, really cool. If you're using a mobile when you're calling in. So anyway, that's the summary for this week. Now, what's happening this week from you, Mark? Let's start with you. Anything interesting? What are you doing?
I am doing the same thing I always do. I'm managing a team. So it's like, what are they going to come up with? Yeah. I don't get to play the tech as much as I used to. I'm doing a lot of development. Tabs. Yeah. We're doing a lot with personal Teams apps now. That's a big move. Since people are moving, especially thanks to things like Viva Connections, everything keeps driving people into Teams more and more and more. So we really see bots and Teams personal apps as being things that clients are easily gravitating to because they're already in there. So we do have a couple of projects working on now, both with bots and with Teams personal apps. So,
if I may ask, which tool do you use to build them?
You mean like the Teams personal apps, or I mean,
yep.
We're just using
personal apps.
I mean, we're just using Visual Studio Code and the SharePoint framework.
Oh, okay, SPFX. No, because like there is Yo Teams, there is Teams Toolkit.
You know, I should probably do a little more investigation of my options there. I've been going by just the mainstream approach to what's being out there.
No, that's completely fine approach as well.
But not judging.
Perfect. No. But now that you've shamed me, I've got to go check out the Teams picture and see what's going on there. But as far as bots go, we're actually looking a lot more at the Power Virtual Agents for Microsoft Teams, which I think is an amazing intro bot for most organizations because you get a Power Virtual Agent and you don't have to pay for the Power Virtual Agent licensing. So I think it's a great way to get people started down that path.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. Baldek, what's on your table?
So on Wednesday, first of all, our team event around Graph. Other than that, we're working on a few things for CLI. Like one of them is support for GCC High, which is the government cloud in the US. And I came across some interesting quirks regarding to Flow API and auth, of all things, right? So
yes,
that is on my plate. I'm trying to find my way around that. And other than that, I got a few ideas that I need to like write one pagers about, trying to get it out of my head and then share it with folks and hear whether that has any future or not.
Makes perfect sense. On my side, probably the number one, the most important thing is certainly to get the public beta out on the SharePoint framework 1.12.1. So we'll do a public beta first, and then by end of the April, it will flip to GA. So making sure that the quality is in the right level. So we had a small hiccup on the real release, and we do apologize on that. So we're now taking this opportunity to actually fix the process then throughout, which is a good thing. So because it's not like this is the last version, not at all. There's so many things in the roadmap. So and working on the acquisition of SPFX solution natively in Microsoft Teams Store and all of that stuff. And there's a store modernization. There's a lot of interesting stuff on the pipeline. So, but let's see where we get actually again after this week. But I think that's pretty much it for today. So thank you, Mark, for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great talking to you guys. Miss you guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, totally. It would be really great to see face to face. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, so let's close up for the day. So thanks everybody for watching or listening, depending on the format what you're using. And I will be coming back with a new PMP Weekly within a week. I guess so. Thanks,
it's
everybody.
Called PMP Weekly for a reason, right?
Yes.
See ya.